Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am very grateful you could be with me for this December 4th podcast. We're going to talk about how to find the ego. I get little questions here and there, and this very, very kind person named Carrie from Arizona sent me an email about this, and I thought it was very thoughtful email, and I want to thank her for, and it's a lady, I want to thank her for her kindness and how she is approaching, trying to approach some sort of spiritual practice. And I want to say this to you. We're going to get into a touchy area here, this thing called the ego. So please understand that it may not be comfortable. Carrie, when we start talking about ego, we're talking about the human heart. And the origins of the ego come in the confines of our emotionality and how we deal with it, how we rationalize it, how we coddle it, how we make excuses for it, that kind of thing. And this goes on and on and on with most people. They don't really understand their ego, and they don't understand the state of the ego. Now, I'm going to say some things that are not meant to be insulting, but they are the fact of the matter for all of us, including me. We do not know when we're being egotistical because there isn't a moment in our life, unless we are meditating and transcending, that we're not arrogant and egotistical. This ego can take on many, many different masks, many different forms. Its content depends upon the state of our emotions. Its behavior depends upon what our DNA is telling us is a threat to our life and is going to tear our life apart, and we have to be careful or whatever. And then you have those people that believe in the whole idea of having some sort of self-esteem, which is another form of ego. This self-esteem is the one that we use to determine whether or not we're going to do what enables us to be powerful, important, respected, things like that. And people want respect and power and all of that other stuff for the simple means of touting themselves in public, in society, and thinking that in doing so, they can become beloved, respected and beloved. And that's what people want. They misinterpret the whole thing because the ego distorts my inner vision to understand what is important and what is really going on in my life and what, you know, significance I may have in my life based on the whole idea of what other people think of me. Now, if you're going to live for the fact of what other people think of you, you're going to have a huge ego. And this ego is going to be a difficult thing to overcome. Did the Buddha have an ego? A diminished one, but certainly there was enough there that he could talk to people. Did Jesus have one? Same thing. Everybody who owns a body, who incarnates inside a body, who allows it to own them, I should say, has an ego. Now, how far you want to take this ego, how far you want to live in it is a matter of choice. If I want to be in my ego, mean-spirited and all of that based on the chemicals in my body, Robert Sapolsky would say, and he would be right, you really have no free will. And he is right, because the body dictates through chemistry exactly what we're going to think, say, and do. And as long as I have that going on in me as a form of my ego, it formulates as an ego. And the next thing I know, I'm in hell. I am doing and thinking and acting. And the choice really is, do I want to do this or not, or do I choose to transcend? Now, This transcendence, what does it mean? It means to step away from my body, from my ego, from my vanity, from my Greg Penn pride, and start to realize that there is something different in there, not in the body, but within me. It is like waking up and realizing, wait a minute, I'm in a bad dream. This whole thing is nothing but a bad dream. And what am I doing here in this bad dream? How am I living? Until you realize, Carrie, that you are in a bad dream and that you are staying there simply out of your biological status, your brain chemistry, your hormones, all the things that most of us live with and by, until I realize all that, what do I have? I have only the arrogance of the human, the genetic dispositions of the human run by my DNA, which is saying to me, I want to be special. I want people to like me. I want people to even fear me. And you're not going to do that to me and blah, 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 blah. And vengeance and pride really get involved in all of this. And before you know it, you've lost your entire lifetime, your entire life. So what is the ego? What isn't it in a person's life? You have to look at yourself, and if you can be honest, I'm prone to vengeance, I'm prone to pride, I'm prone to having other people love me, because if they do, it proves that I'm okay, I'm, you know, not a bad person, yada da yada da. It has a lot to do with all of that. And if I'm going to live in that demeanor, then I'm going to have definite problems in my life. And I'm going to have this huge ego, and it is going to bow down to my fears and bow down to my psychology, my human weaknesses. And my psychology will support it and become the voice of my ego through all sorts of psychological beliefs that I have developed. They're nothing more than stories, and they're genetic, and they're biological, and it's a mess in there. It's so complicated. If you read Sapolsky, you'll realize how complicated this all is. And most people just don't have the patience nor the interest, much less the intellectual prowess to even get into something like this and really understand it. So we just go, oh, well, screw it. I'm just going to go and be me. I got to be me. And I'll just be me and do all this stuff that, you know, isn't in my best interest as a spiritual being. And until you recognize yourself as a spiritual being, nothing is much going to happen. An authentic spiritual practice is nothing more than sitting in front of the mirror of your being and realizing how you are, the way you are, how you live, and I'm going to say this, how mentally ill you are. There was an article out recently that 90% of the American public is worried about their mental health. Well, their mental health, what is that? Their arrogance, their ego, getting what they want, believing that they deserve privileges and that they're special people. Mental health, the American public has no idea what mental health is. None at all. And if they, you know, see someone going into depression or committing suicide, they think, well, you know, he was mentally ill. The shooter was mentally ill. And that's right. All of that is very true. But you live in a society that purports mental illness. We purport the idea that we are free, can do whatever we want, and we can drink and smoke marijuana and do all the things that are comforting to our ego, our psyche, our human body, and think that that's just perfectly fine, and that's the way we choose to live. I can't change all that, and neither can you. You have to see it for what it is, your ego, and then cease to feed it with desire, ambition, vengeance, and pride. Those are the simple facts of the ego. This was simple. There's much more to it than what I just said, but that's the best I can do in 10 minutes. Have Have a good one. Thank you, Carrie, for your wonderful email. I'll be back on the air next weekend. I hope you will join me. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.